Well, Andy was meant to be speaking this morning, as he said to me last night, the length some people will go to get out of preaching. But so this was this is a message prepared a little bit last night, a little bit this morning. But hopefully God will speak to all of us through this. I think it's been interesting kind of knowing that we were going to be doing Daniel through the summer, thinking about, it's just so relevant, so cultural, so right for us now as a church. There's so many things in here which speak to directly where we're at. But there's also things in here today that speak very much to where we're at, and will speak very much to perhaps some of you as you think about the events that we were kind of sharing on the WhatsApp chat last night about Andy. But we'll come to that a little bit later on. So our two main characters in this story are Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, the king. And then there's Daniel's mate, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And today in this kind of passage, in this bit, Daniel doesn't get a mention. He's not in it. But we've got Nebuchadnezzar and we've got Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar, the narcissist king, the power kind of craving, power crazed king. He has had a statue built that is 90 feet or 27 meters high, whether you're a metric or imperial, 90 feet or 27 meters. It's massive. We don't know what it was representing. We know it was made of gold, and we know perhaps in a material human sense, it would have been something of wonder. The kind of the elaborate makeup of it, the size of it, the scale of it. Often it's speculated that it was a statue of Nebuchadnezzar himself, and it might have been, but we don't know that. It might have been some kind of Babylonian deity or something, but it would have been huge. And it would have been impressive, but that doesn't mean that we are to worship it. It doesn't mean that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to bow down to it. But we're told it was massive, it was elaborate, it was something to behold. So Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. We're going to go through the whole chapter, but do it in stages. So the first 11 verses of Daniel 3. Says this: King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, or 90 feet or 27 meters, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps. A satrap is like an official. All right, so some of the officials, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image that had been set up. So the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and people of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, though, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to the King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace. Everybody has got to worship this thing. It's the law. It's the law. I am the law," Nebuchadnezzar says. "This is, everyone has got to bow and worship this thing. This is not a suggestion or a request. This is a command. When the music plays, get up and worship this gold statue." And the consequences of not following that command are going to be huge, because there's a fiery furnace and you're going to be thrown into it for non-compliance. If I was telling this in a school assembly, I might have all the kids going feeling hot, hot, hot at this point, but I'm not going to ask you to do that. Non-compliance, you're going in the fire. Now, the people of Babylon, as we've already thought, were happy to believe in just about anything. And if their king told them to worship a giant gold statue that would have been impressive, this was not ever going to really be a problem for them. But the added consequence of not doing it meant that when the music played, as it did in verse 7, they complied instantly. They bowed down and they worshipped this gold statue. I spend a bit of time every week in a primary school, and I'm in Hollywood Primary for an assembly in the morning and then back for an RE lesson on Thursday. And at Hollywood Primary, these kids are drilled. It's like a machine. If you stand at the front of the school hall and put your hand up, everybody like repeats. All their hands go up. The whole thing goes silent. Everybody is staring at you. It's magic. I've wondered about trying it here. I think I'd be wasting my time. It's a response that has been learned and drilled into these kids, and they just do it. But this is more, isn't it? This is that when the music plays, they don't just kind of go quiet, they bow to this thing. They have to worship this thing. When we lived in Scotland, I went to watch Scotland play rugby a few times in the Six Nations. Not that I'm particularly into rugby and not that I was Scottish, but they wanted to go, and so I said I'd take them. And when the national anthem starts for Scotland, I don't know if you've ever listened to the words. The words are, as an Englishman, a bit interesting to sit there as they want to send me home to think again. And so I sit there in my seat amongst these thousands thinking, I can't sing this. I can't stand up. Why would I do this? And as they're all staring at me and raising their fists. But they kind of all just rise as one. And when the music played as one, they bowed down and worshipped. They bowed down and worshipped. They were told to do it. It was instinctive. Everyone did it. It was just what they were going to do. Verse 12. There are some Jews whom you have sent set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. They are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, then very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? It's kind of classic grassing up, isn't it? Miss, I didn't do what you said. You said if no one's going to do it, it's classic grassing up, isn't it? They're trying to show their loyalty and at the same time pointing out that others are not loyal. They weren't especially happy that these guys have come from Babylon as slaves and are now the same as them or indeed over them and given positions of responsibility. They weren't especially pleased that they showed them up by not eating the king's food but actually being better for it. King, they're not loyal to you. The Jews are not doing as commanded. Now, these are educated, God-fearing Jews. They know the law of the Torah. They know the first commandment, have no gods before God. They know the second commandment, not to bow down to anything other than God himself. So when faced with the command of man that opposes the command of God, they're going to choose God. They're going to choose God. They always were and they always will. They decide to not do something just because they are told to do it. They decide not to do something just because everyone else is doing it. How relevant is that to us in our society right now? There are many things. Doesn't matter what age you are, from the youngest to the oldest in your room, there'll be people of your kind of peer group, age, generation, culture, what have you, who will be doing stuff that it's very easy for us to go along with just because they are. And these guys are going, no, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. It's that kind of sense of resolve again, isn't it? Yeah, just because you say I should, I'm not going to. Just because everyone else is, I'm not going to. It's not right. It's not what God wants. I'm not doing it. They're choosing God. They're choosing God. Daniel isn't in this particular story, but Daniel's name means God is my judge. And this is how these three guys are choosing to live. They're going, King Nebuchadnezzar, you've told me to do it, but God says it's not right. You are not my king. You are not my judge. God is. And so I'm not going to bow to your gold statue, as impressive and as wonderful as it is. It's a resolve. It's an act of public defiance. But more than anything, it is a decision that they are making that they're going to obey God and to trust God above and before anything else. Now, in our society, in our culture, we are to be respecters of the law, but not if that means going against, in opposition to the will of God. We have many laws in our land, most of which we're able to follow because they do not impinge upon our Christian faith. But if we're asked to do something which flies in the face of what God has asked us to do, then we, with courage, go, well, I'm going to obey God because he is my king. He is my judge. He is my God. I'm going to obey him. I think I said this before, but Jane and I have had the conversation more than once that goes something like this. It's normally me saying to Jane, if it becomes illegal to preach the Bible, you know I'm going to break the law, don't you? You know I'm going to break the law. To which she goes, I know you will. We will then say, well, we'll just face this together. We'll face it together. We'll trust the Lord together. We'll trust the Lord for our future, our freedom, our marriage, our family. Because God is our king. God's our king. God's our God. He is our judge. Not the rulers of the day. Not the rulers of what we're facing. God's our judge. We do what God says. Verse 16, the king goads them. You're going to go in the fiery furnace. I mean, you might not have bowed down now, but I'm giving you one more chance. If you bow down this time, we're okay. If you don't bow down, you're going in the fire. And who's going to save you now? He goads them. Who's going to rescue you? I mean, Nebuchadnezzar should have known by now, because he's seen it already. The example of these young men stranded in a foreign and wicked land is to trust the Lord even when it seems so hard. To trust the Lord even when they laugh at you for it. They think I'm an idiot. They think I've absolutely lost my mind. They think I believe in a made-up fairy in the sky. They laugh at me. They mock me. They think I'm deluded. But I'm going to trust the Lord. For I know he's not a fictional fairy in the sky. He's my Lord and my God, and I'm going to trust in him. These are young people stranded in a foreign and wicked land. Going, you can say what you want. You can do what you want. You can laugh as much as you like. I'm trusting in the Lord God Almighty. What an inspiration that is for us. Where you go tomorrow, you might go to work and the people around you know that you're a Christian and they might think that you're a little bit strange. You might be, you go to school or college and the people around you, they know you're a Christian and they look at you a bit funny as in, do you really believe all that stuff? These three young men did. They stood by their conviction. They stood by what they knew to be true. They stood and trusted in the Lord, even when it felt so hard. We sang a song based on Psalm 23, I'll trust in you. We Jan and I had it at our wedding because it's that sense of, oh, we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to trust the Lord with our life, with our marriage, with whatever is to come. We're going to trust the Lord. These three guys trusted in the Lord, didn't they? In spite of what anyone else thought of them. The king was mocking them. Do what you want. I'm in the hands of the Almighty. Verse 17. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, their trousers, their turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that the king was only the small K king. God is their everything. God is not only the one to whom they will answer, but the one to whom will provide for them. God is our judge. But he's also our healer, our friend, our helper, the one who holds us in the palm of his hand. God was going to provide for them. They are working for the king, but they are servants of God. Tomorrow, when you go to work, you work for your paymaster. You work for your boss, but your servant is the God Almighty. And so go to work with an attitude of, I am serving my king. They were servants of the king. They were working for the king, but servants of the Almighty. And they had faith that God was going to protect them. But a contentment, and this is really powerful for us, a contentment that he might not. God is going to help us. You throw us in that fire, God is going to help us. But a contentment that he might not. God is our Savior. They're essentially saying to the king, look, king, God is our savior, but our physical life on earth might not last forever. It won't last forever. And it might end in that fire. It might end in that fire. But the Lord, God Almighty, he will lead me through. He will lead me through. That might be through and out of the other side here on earth, or it might be through and on into glory. And whichever it is, will be held by the Almighty every step of the way. I was talking to someone this morning. I said, I don't want to die, but I'm not afraid to die. That's how we get to be as Christians, isn't it? I don't want to die. There's so many things I want to see, so many things I want to do. But I'm not afraid of it. Because each and every single step of the way, I'm held by the hand of the Almighty God. And these 3 guys could look at the king as he's cramping up his fire even hotter and hotter and hotter and go, you can do what you want. Do what you want. I belong to the Lord Almighty, and he has me in his hand. If I die, I die. I belong to him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were demonstrating their trust in the eternal God. Not the God of keep me rich and keep me healthy, but the God of the eternal promise that he will be with us. God is going to be with you, not because I say so, but because he has promised. God's going to be with you. He is going to hold you. He is going to be with you each and every single step of the way, even though I walk through the darkest valley. Coming out on the other side doesn't mean that we get another day on earth. It means that we get another day with God. We're his. And we're his forever. Verse 24. King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. But he said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps and the prefects and the governors and the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire upon them. Then King Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, and they were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the province of Babylon. There was someone else in the fire. There was someone else in the fire. There's two applications of this morning. First, let's follow the narrative out. Stand up for what you know to be true. Stand up for what you know to be true. There's going to come a point this week in the world in which we are living. There is going to come a point this week where you're going to see something, hear something, be confronted by something, read something that is going to fly in direct opposition to what you know to be true. Stand up for what you believe to be true. Stand up for what you know is right. Know your faith. Know what you believe and know why you believe it, and don't be bullied away from it. Don't be bullied away from the truth. Stand up for Jesus. There's an old song, isn't there? If David Drew were here, stand up for Jesus. I don't remember the last line, but thank you, Luke. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Bless those who are persecuted because of me. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of me, says Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for him. We don't know who the fourth figure was. It is speculated that it was Jesus. That seems a good shout to me. Jesus stands with us and protects us when people attack us. Jesus can work miracles for our defense that enable others to see the power of God. King Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, how many times has he got to see it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the God Most High. He saw it. He saw it. God can work miracles that not just work for our defense, but enable us to see the great power of God. Which brings us to the next application of this. There is someone else in this with us. There was someone else in the ambulance last night. There was someone else at Worcester Royal when Andy arrived. There was someone else in the operation room. There was someone else in there with him. Julie was saying last night that people say silly things in times of crisis, don't they? Fingers crossed. What do you think that's going to do? How long do you cross them for? It was more well-meaning than Nebuchadnezzar. It's who's going to help you now? But they're both equally empty, aren't they? And express that same sense of hopelessness. When Andy started to message me last night to say he had chest pains, there's a human emotion that kicks in, isn't there? That feeling of wanting to do something, but you feel powerless to do anything about it. Only we're not powerless. We're not powerless. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not powerless. We were not powerless last night, for we were invited to pray. For God invites us to pray, and we have someone else in this with us. There was a fourth man in the fire, and there's another man in the ambulance. We are not alone. We never were alone. We never will be alone. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust the Lord. God is always, always with us. Trust the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had this incredible faith, didn't they? It's wonderful faith. When Jesus came and walked the earth, we sometimes say, oh, it would have been great to have been there when Jesus could walk the earth. But what did Jesus say? Blessed are those who believe without seeing. We are more blessed than any of these. We're more blessed than any of these. We have a greater power than any of these. For we have the Holy Spirit residing within us. We are not powerless. We have a fourth man in the fire with us. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the power of the Holy Spirit that's been given to us through the gracious generosity of our holy God. For God is always with us. We're going to be ramping up to Christmas soon. I can say that, can I? We're going to be ramping up to Christmas. Jesus, the one that came to be the Savior of the world. Emmanuel, who came to be God with us. Trust in Jesus. Trust in the Lord. We are not powerless. God is always with us, not just on the good days, but especially on the days when we're sat in the middle of a fire. For he is the King who suffers with us. He's with us, holding our hand, leading us through. Trust in him. Trust in him. I'd like to give you courage today that whenever it comes this week, when someone says something, does something that opposes what you know to be true, I want to give you great courage to go, stand. Stand. Stand against it. Speak up for what you know to be true. And yes, it might get ugly for a while, but the Lord is there with you in that moment. And he will defend you, for he is our great defender. And he promises to be with us. And he's there saying, look, don't be afraid. I'm here with you. I've got you. I'm holding you. I'm going to lead you through this. I want to give you that courage this morning. But it might be today that you are sat here by the grace of God because you're terrified about something that is swirling around your head right now. But it's equally true, isn't it? Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Who's going to help you now, says the King? God will. God will. Because he's going to put a fourth man here with me. He sent Jesus to be standing with me, alongside this with me, for he is the King who suffers with us. And so I want to give you that courage today, that if you're in the middle of a fire, in the middle of a storm, being that you feel like everything is just being just crushed and sucked out of you, know that the King is in it with you, that he loves you, he's holding you, he's got you. He is your defender and he is your savior. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Put your hope and your trust in him. I'm going to pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this incredible story of Daniel and his friends about their courage and their boldness to speak out, to say things that brought them kind of persecution and opposition and mockery. But yet they knew that you were their God. And they knew they were going to stand for you because they knew you were going to protect them. Father, I pray that we would have that same courage and boldness as we face a wicked secular world. You are our God. And I'm not going to bow down to the things of the world. I'm not going to go along with the misery and the destruction and the selfishness and the lies of the world. But I'm going to stand for you are my God and you love us and you are true and I'm following you. Lord, I thank you that you see us though when we're on our knees. And we're hurting and we're frightened and we're anxious and we're uncertain. And it just feels so confusing and so hard. And Lord, I think this morning that this is not a coincidence. And you want to remind us that in those times when it all feels so hard, you are standing right beside us as the King who suffers with us. My Lord and my God. Father, I pray that you would help us today to put all of our trust in you. That we trust you when we need courage. Courage to stand. Courage to speak. That we trust you when we need courage to hold on, because it just feels so hard. We're not powerless because we have you within us, you standing alongside us. We are not powerless. Silver and gold I do not have, but yet I've got the Lord Almighty on my side. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for all that you have given us. I thank you that you hold our hand through it all and for all that you yet have for us. Lord, I pray that we would trust in you. For you are good and you are our God and you have proved yourself over and over and over again to be just that and to be worthy of it all. Father, we thank you. Amen.